Jets conversation at some point. The Jets go out to the desert to take on the Arizona Cardinals. And don't look now, but Kyler Murray and those guys have a couple wins back-to-back under their belt. And it's not a guarantee that the Jets go out there and win. But they need this win. They're going to keep us thinking that it's all right in front of them and they can go on a win streak and get to the playoffs. Playoffs? Yeah, we'll play some cuts from Joe Douglas probably in the next hour. But in this hour, I mean, I got to answer the phones. I got to take your calls at 888-808-1019. People reacting to Scott Boras and the Juan Soto conversation and Giancarlo Stanton conversation and the other Boras client, Garrett Cole. We are in the early stages here of the Juan Soto sweepstakes. It's real now. He's a free agent now. And the Mets and Yankees are the top suitors for him. I think everybody else is kind of around and, you know, they're going to try and raise the price and they can bid on him. But ultimately, I think Juan Soto is deciding between staying a Yankee or going into the unknown and completely changing his legacy going across town. I think I was listening to C-Mac show last night and someone called and they're like, can you name a Yankee that the Yankees wanted to re-sign in free agency that left and signed with the Mets? And I think they came up with Curtis Granderson, but Curtis Granderson was like, by that time, like Curtis Granderson in like 2011, why by the time he got with the Mets in what, 2014 or 15, he wasn't the same Grandy man, Ken, he wasn't the same guy. And that's nowhere near like Juan Soto leaving the Yankees to go to the Mets. That would be a complete power shift. The balance of power, it would just swing it. So if you Yankee fans think you're living in a hell now after failing in the World Series, oh, there's more. If Juan Soto leaves to join the Mets, like this, all of this is forever. All of this is forever. So let's get back to it. 888-808-1019 and hear from you guys and what you guys want to talk about. Knicks are still down. I just saw Mikal Bridges turn the ball over. It's 26-20. Carl Anthony Towns playing tough. We'll also react to this Knicks game later on tonight. But right now, Jose is out on Staten Island. Jose, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, Keith?
Good.
Keith, let me make this clear. I've spoken before. I'm a Mets fan. But this thing with Judge, Soto, and Dominguez, aren't all three of them right fielders? Wouldn't it be better for the Yankees to take a page out of what Philadelphia did with this guy moving from the
Bryce
outfield
Harper.
To first base, at Bryce Harper, and make Judge now, and you make his career last longer. You know, trust me, I, as a Met fan, I would love to have Soto, but I guess good pitching always beats good hitting. I've always been a firm believer of that. So I also think the Mets rotation has to get a lot stronger and get, instead of getting home run hitter after home run hitter, get somebody, you know, get contact hitters that keep the ball going, you know, because you keep depending on home runs, you know what happens.
Yeah, and the Mets need pitching.
We've experienced that in New York.
Honestly, the Mets should be bringing back Sean Manaea. They should maybe go after, like, Max Fried or Corbin Burns or, I don't know. There's a lot of pitchers out there. They could bring Severino back. Like, they could actually have a strong rotation with free agent signings and put the money there. But to answer your question, thanks for the call, Jose. To answer your question about those guys all being right fielders, Jason Dominguez, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge, I guess in Yankee Stadium with the short ports, they all can play right field. I keep going back to the fact that, like, the Judge's chambers were put there for Judge, and Judge was an all-star plus defender over there with his height, with his arm strength, and with just the amount of reps he had there. But now, you know, we can't say Judge didn't play his ass off this year in center field. Going into the season, that was a worry. How is he going to play so many games in center field? How is he going to play the whole season in center field coming off a toe injury? No one said a thing about the toe. And if he didn't drop that pop-up, no one would be even questioning him being a center fielder for the next few years. And when I say few years, I mean at least three. He'll be 33 next season, so I can see him being age 33, 34, 35, a center fielder for the New York Yankees. He's not going to be Trent Grisham or Harrison Bader out there, but he's still going to be a solid center fielder if they sign Juan Soto, and Juan Soto continues to improve in the right field of Yankee Stadium. Jason Dominguez can learn how to play left field, but Jason Dominguez profiled as a center fielder. I think he can learn how to play left field in Yankee Stadium, which is tricky. It's an ocean out there. I've always talked about the curse of Brett Gardner. The Yankees didn't do right by Gardy. Gardy used to play a hell of a left field. And then you got a bunch of random guys out there from IKF to Oswaldo Cabrera, I don't know, Miguel Andujar, and Alex Verdugo, Joey Gallo, Andrew Benintendi, the list goes on of how many guys they've tried to find that could play left field in Yankee Stadium. 888-808-1019. I don't see any of them being a first baseman for the next 3 years. I'm not worried about 3 years down the road. I honestly think that the Yankees, the way that they go, they sign Juan Soto. They're not signing Christian Walker. They're gonna play the game of having DJ play first base or Cabrera or I don't know. They're just gonna try and cut corners with that. Ben Rice. I would not be surprised if they go with Ben Rice. As we talk about young players, and I listed all those young players in the writing being on the wall, Ben Rice I did not name when I mentioned Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza, Jason Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, Caleb Durbin, who's now getting a lot of buzz, impressing people in the Arizona Fall League, similar to Gleyber Torres when Gleyber Torres was the MVP of the Arizona Fall League. Caleb Durbin may have an opportunity to come into camp and compete for a position. We'll see what they do with Jazz, depending on if they add an infielder. But, you can find utility infielders. You can find guys. They were looking at Kike Hernandez going into this season. I'm glad they didn't sign Kike Hernandez. I can't stand that guy. But, those are little marginal moves. I think the outfield next year could easily be Juan Soto in right, Judge in center, Dominguez in left. And you can figure out some other things. But, no, I'm not ready to put any of them at first base. Let Ben Rice play first base if you don't want to go out and sign a Christian Walker or bring in a Paul Goldschmidt or any of these other names. I'm not entertaining the Yankees bringing in Pete Alonso. I know they're not. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is back on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, real quick, I heard on the update, shout-out Dylan Harper made his Rutgers debut, popped off a little bit against Wagner.
Yeah, I was in the newsroom listening to Recco call that. We'll talk a little Rutgers later if anybody wants to speak on that.
Yeah, I don't think Bailey played tonight, right? It's crazy.
No, and I was just talking to Ack about it, and he says, why isn't Bailey playing in this first game? I said, load management.
Right out of the gate. Anyway, I'm hearing this Boris stuff. I'm laughing. I tweeted it. It just makes me think of Freestyle Friday. You got to get him in the studio, get something to go have a rap battle or something.
I would love to. I'd love to write some puns and rhymes with Scott Boris, MLB's most famous agent.
I mean, it's crazy. You were talking about it. It kind of seems like he's on the this better days are obviously in the past. You see Jordan Montgomery robbing Arizona blind, but. You know, there is no other agent in sports that even comes close to how he has control over, MLB off seasons and players in general. It's nuts. You're talking about Max Fried is the biggest name that doesn't have him as an agent. Isn't it his agency?
It's like a club, man. These players
see him in a chokehold. Yeah.
Other players like Gerrit Cole get that money and there's no one else to sign with, right? Pete Alonso wanted to get serious about his money with Steve Cohen paying everybody else. He went to Scott Boris. He had a down year. It's changing. Like you said, I always talk about the Boris Five and this past offseason. As baseball's Bond villain, he's not as powerful as he once was. He's not as diabolical as he once was because the league has kind of turned against him to say, we're not signing those big-term contracts. So you got Montgomery, who the owner of the Diamondbacks came out and said that was his move and his worst mistake. That's bad. Cody Bellinger, we thought, was going to go get big money. No. Blake Snell, who was hurt and wasn't in spring training. He's a starting pitcher. He has to be on his pitching program and get his timing right. Not a good situation for him. J.D. Martinez had a back issue. Mets fans understand that. And then Matt Chapman. I think Matt Chapman was one of his first people to sign, but Chapman thought he was going to get more money than he got to. So Boris kind of has failed these guys that came to him thinking that he was the key to them having the generational wealth.
Well, I'm sure he embarrassed himself. Yeah, I was been saying online, he's that's Kevin Garnett at this point in terms of, clients and stuff. Everybody looks at the name. They think I remember Met fans, myself at Buda last year, we saw Alonso taking on Boris. He said, oh, crap. And now you look at it, you brought up the names Chapman, Bellinger, all of them, and he's lost a lot of his luster. So he comes up with these puns and everything and all that, but he definitely ain't the Boris of a couple years ago.
Not at all.
Not to say,
Soto. He's got Juan Soto.
Right. And that's basically all he's got at this point.
As far as a deal, probably north of 6-7 years, it's Juan Soto. The rest of those guys I think are going to be – if Pete Alonso gets 7 years, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know how many teams are putting value into that one swing, probably none. You look at the rest of the year, how many times did I call you and every other host We're talking about, you know, leaving seven runners on, three strikeouts, two of which being sliders, 15 out of the zone. He was an absolute best for the better part of the year. You were talking about Yankees first base, too. I don't know why. Something tells me you guys are signing Josh Bello, even if it's, you know, like a one-year deal or something. I don't know what tells me that, but
maybe
I can't see Ben Rice starting the year or Oswaldo, any of your current guys starting the year.
I could, because you always have the trade deadline if you need to improve.
Yeah, that's right. I heard Loogie, somebody was talking about Vladdy Jr. coming over. At the end of the day, it's his house, so who knows?
No, there will be no Vladdy Jr. in pinstripes, guaranteed. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. Tyler Kolek getting busy for the Knicks. Let's take a look at that right now. In the second quarter here, the Hawks are up 43-36, but it's starting to warm up. This game's starting to roll a little bit. There was so much talk about the Knicks bench. Tyler Kolek has six off the bench. Miles McBride has six off the bench, and they have more points than three of five starting players in Brunson, Anunoby, and Bridges. Let's see. Anunoby knocks down that shot, so take him out of that group. This is a good game if you're looking for something to watch, right? It's not Miami of Ohio versus Ball State like last night. Like, the Knicks need to win this game just to quiet the rumblings and the early conversation that happens in the NBA. That's really ridiculous because, like, it's really preseason. They're still figuring it out, and this is a new team. But, yeah, they're battling back. They're only down four. So keep an eye on that. We'll react to that later. Also, Joe Douglas and Jets conversation coming up. But still talking Yankees, Juan Soto, Scott Boras. Let's go to Hoboken and talk to Lewis next on the Fan. What's up, Lewis?
What's up, Keith? How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
For my call. I think, you know, the Yankee fans, we really need to settle down a little bit and just, you know, put the pressure on Hal, because Scott's going to keep doing his little riddles. He's going to talk about the magic of one. But what's just concerning Yankee fans, you know, I see reports.
Riddles.
You know, the number for one I saw thrown out there starts with 575, but the Mets, the day after the World Series, they're already talking six. We need to get up to six already. Give the man his money. He's going to get his money. We can't, you know, compare Juan Soto, generational guy, to, you know, the Boras five. He's going to get his 13, 12 years. He's going to get his $600 million. I think, you know, we got to put the pressure on Hal.
Yeah, but these teams are going to start low. They're going to put low offers out there, and they're going to slowly, incrementally increase, right? Thanks for the call, Lewis. I do think Yankee fans got to chill out, but Yankee fans chilling out after getting to the World Series and losing like that? No way. We wish we could press a button and be at opening day. With the Juan Soto contract, all right, Judge was a right fielder, made $40 million a year 2 years ago. I just think it's crazy that we've already jumped from that contract to Juan Soto is worth $50 million a year. You probably get it just because that's how it is, right? Every year, the player money goes up for AAV. Juan Soto now in 2024, going into 2025, being the generational talent that he is, already a Hall of Famer, already got a World Series ring, and Scott Boras literally talking about him making an organization billions, which, yeah, sure. I guess after, you know, a decade and a half of him being on your team, count the Yankees already having 1 year of that, he could make you billions. He could make you $1 billion, $2 billion, maybe, if you win a World Series, who knows? The money will make itself back, but when you talk about $700 million, that's damn near $1 billion. Over 13 years, 14 years, that's a lot of money, man. So I still am kind of reserving my, like, you got to show me. I will be surprised if that's a $700 million contract plus. I would be surprised if it's, like, because they got to start low. They look at how Cashman tried to give a contract around $240 million to Judge opening day 2022. And I think they based it off of Mookie Betts' contract. Like, okay, Mookie Betts is a right fielder. He got XYZ. My internet's not working. I'm trying to pull a Mookie Betts deal. I don't remember off the top of my head. But I know that that's what they based it off of. I know that they were like, all right, Mookie Betts gets this per year. And remember the talk all those years ago? Like, was Judge better than Mookie Betts? Mookie Betts better than Judge? And now Mookie Betts has three World Series rings. Crazy. Yeah, so Mookie Betts signed a 12-year, $365 million deal. And I want to say, Cashman offered Judge like $240 million for like 8 years or 9 years. And Judge was like, nah, I'm a $300 million plus player. I'll prove it. I'll go out here and play. And I said once opening day comes, I don't want to do any contract talk. But I think they could have signed Judge for $300 million if they put, you know, $30 million for 10 or came up a little bit more on the AAV. Either way, what I'm saying is I'm not so ready to jump into Juan Soto as a $50 million a year player. He probably will be. But I think that's upwards. I think that's upwards. I think that they're going to try and start at like 45. That's why I was joking. Every time Juan Soto made an error this year, I would be on Twitter or come on air and be like, sorry, Brody. Can't do more than 45 mil. Not for that defense. That's where I'm 45 mil a year. AAV, no higher. Now, 13, 14 years, maybe. 12 years, like, can't do any more than 45 million for that defense. You're a great hitter. You work your walks. You can hit bombs. You can hit the shuffle. You got a ton of fans. But if you're going to let Gunnar Henderson hit that ball over your head, if you're going to let Shohei Ohtani hit that ball over your head, if you're going to let Kike Hernandez get that ball by it, I can't do 50 million for that. Charlie is out in Queens on the Fan in New York. What's up, Charlie?
How you doing, fellow bleacher creature?
Hey, that's my guy. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You know what? I haven't called in a while. And Game 5 was on all of us. It was a collective screw-up.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let it go and say, you know what? Hopefully, we get that makes us hungry, and we go for it this year.
Oh, man, Charlie, we were partying like it was 1999 in there. The Bronx was on fire.
I was waiting for Prince to come out and play Purple Rain for you, bro. But the whole thing with Soto, I have a gut feeling it's going to be between Christmas and Thanksgiving. Closer to Thanksgiving, he's going to make his decision.
Okay. I think it's going to be at the winter meetings.
I don't know who he's going to go with. Honestly, I hope it's the Yankees. You know, as a Yankee fan, we want him. I think he wants to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, you know, at the end of the day, what he wants.
Yeah, I think that if all things are equal, he just wants his respect, right? If the Yankees come to play and match the contract – or come close to any contract, then he's going to say, yeah. I think it's got to be, you know, if it's the Mets and the Yankees at the top, I've been on record saying this, the Mets got to blow the Yankees out of the water by millions, by 10 million, by 50 million, like whatever it might be.
Yeah. A year. And it's also going to be a thing of also, our big point is, Judge is not going to be here by the end of your contract.
Right.
And guess who's going to be the new king, who's going to probably get that seat? You.
He, of course.
So if that's something you're interested in, believe it or not, that seat can be on your chest. Part of that tradition, part of that Munson.
And he's also interested in batting in front of Judge while Judge is still in his prime.
So, I mean, it looks good, but we'll wait and see. About the Giants, my predictions come true so far. I said between 3 and 7 victories. And the New York Giants are like, you know, I don't know. That quarterback's a joke.
Yeah, but they should beat the Panthers. They're 6-point favorites. They're going to a neutral site. They got to beat the Panthers. If they don't, it's going to get scary around here. We're going to be talking about a lot of different probabilities and possibilities and what could happen the rest of this year into the offseason.
Is Daniel starting?
Yeah, Daniel's going to start. And I think he's going to start the rest of the games until they get to a point where it's like, okay, season's lost. And we don't want him to get hurt because, like, the whole injury clause thing is about the new league year. From what I read, if he's hurt and has an injury where he can't pass a physical going into the 2025 season, which is like an Achilles or an ACL or whatever, if he gets banged up or whatever right now and can come back this season, that's fine. But I think as you get later in the season, you know, we're talking about December, like, why are you going to put him out there and risk it? Because the closer you get to March, the more you tempt fate. So I think they're going to start him because they don't want to give off the scent that they're tanking. They don't want to give off the scent that they're potentially going to be like the Broncos who literally went to Russell Wilson and said, we're going to bench you. We don't want this clause to activate where you get hurt. And Russell Wilson made that public and fought that. I think that the Giants are going to try and win these games, and they have a stretch coming up where, like, you can beat the Panthers. You can beat the Cowboys without Dak. You can beat the Saints who just fired Dennis Allen. Like, there are some winnable games coming up.
Oh, I'm a little bit of the slightly tanked team, even though I want my team to do good.
No, but you know.
For that quarterback.
They should have tanked last year.
I know.
You know.
DeVito hurt us. As good as he was, like, as surprisingly good as he was for who he is. he did hurt us.
Yeah, it was a cool run of Tommy DeVito doing autograph signings and pulling up to delis and signing sneakers. But what did it cost you? It cost you potentially Jaden Daniels, which, like, you got to face that guy two times a year. That's not going away anytime soon.
So good night, bro. I hope your kid is doing well, and see you when I see you at the stadium.
Maybe at the Garden, but probably at Yankee Stadium. Thanks for the call, Charlie. Bleacher Creatures 203 on both sides of the phone. Yeah, my kid is good. He's sleeping right now. And I root for him to sleep. My wife always says, like, oh, I miss him when he goes to bed. I'm like, you and I are so different. I cannot wait for him to go to bed. I cannot wait for him to go to sleep. I feel free. I feel relief. On nights when I'm not on till 11 o'clock and I'm taking care of him, I cannot wait till it's bath time, bedtime. Peace, bro. Go to baby dreamland and leave me alone. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. We'll be right back. I never slip, I never fall. A lot of girls gave me their number, but I never call. A real OG looking VIP and see a player ball. Y'all don't know that one? Throw some D's on it. KM to AM on the Fan, you heard? The Knicks came back. It's a close game, but they went on a little run and Carl Anthony Towns making it rain. Bang! 59-57 Knicks with about a minute and a half going into halftime. We're going to continue with the Yankees talk, the Mets talk, the free agency stuff, Juan Soto and Scott Boras. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will get into Joe Douglas. And I just got a spicy clip from a former New York Giant talking about these current Giants that we'll play. And we'll get into more NFL conversation. And then when the Knicks game is over, we'll react to that. So 888-808-1019, the lines are wide open. Steven, I'm coming to you next, but since it's been 90 minutes exactly into my show, I want to bring back the Scott Boras bars, the Scott Boras puns. You can rewind in the free Odyssey app if you want to hear me doing a Scott Boras impersonation trying to make puns for our WFAN hosts. Let's play, I don't know, Pete Alonso. Let's start with the Pete Alonso pun that Scott Boras cooked up at the GM meetings today.
We hear a lot about the bear market for power hitting first baseman, and I mean, for Pete's sake, it's the polar opposite.
Like, you gotta appreciate that. Make baseball cool again. Scott Boras is trying, man. The word play, I'm not mad at it. Let's cue up the Blake Snell one. Blake Snell. I know Yankee fans wanted Blake Snell. Are the Mets interested in maybe signing Blake Snell? They could use the pitching. Let's hear Scott Boras talking about his client, Blake Snell.
There's no doubt that the Snelling salts have created a lot of whiffs. And the market has definitely awakened to Blake Snell.
Scotty B. Don't nobody make them puns like you, Scotty B. One more. We got to hear the generational Juan Soto, right? The centurion, he called him, that's going to make whoever signs him billions. Let's hear the Bond villain of America's pastime, Major League Baseball's most famous player agent, talk about Juan Soto.
They're kind of called upon to be championship magicians. That's kind of what they're asked to do. It's hard to do, to put together that magic of a championship run. But behind every great magician, obviously, is the magic wand.
So he's talking about, I guess, GMs and what they have to do to build a championship team. And
the magic wand.
Behind every magician is the magic wand. Let's go to Steven and Mendham on the Fan. What's up, Steven?
Hey, man, great show tonight. It's a real nice break from all the news and everything that's going on. So
sure.
Thank you for holding it down for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think baseball's got a long way to go when it comes to salaries, you know. I mean, and at the end of the day, we the fans are just going to pay for it, you know, by new streaming's going to cost us more.
Yep.
And then they're going to get us to gamble on the games that they're involved in now. But really, Mets, what's his name, Ronaldo, who plays in Saudi Arabia now. You know, great, great player all time. He's making $200 million a year. His endorsements may be way, way beyond that. Messi, even in MLS, is making $75 million. You know, yeah. F1 racers make hundreds of millions of dollars. So whatever the margin is, you know, whoever's behind it all, Steinbrenner's got a number in his head, and he wants to make a certain percentage off of it. And if he figures he can sell enough tchotchkes and seats, then he throws $50 or $60 million at him, I guess, right?
He will, and they know they can. Great call, Steven. You know, like, that's the thing. Even like these NBA players, the money that some of these, there are NBA players that you don't know that are making a lot more than these baseball players. You know, Dak Prescott, I heard, talked about on The Fan today and how he's making $60 million a year. You guys heard about what happened with Dak? It's now out. When my show started, it hit the news. So, sidebar here, and I'll get back to the conversation about, like, Juan Soto and the margin and how much the owners make and baseball. It's just obvious that, like, of course, like I said, there is no contract that Juan Soto is going to sign that Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees can't afford. But anyway, sidebar here, Dak Prescott, as we get close to 9 o'clock and start talking about the midway point of the NFL season, post-trade deadline, I'll give you some of my predictions on who's going to actually win the divisions now, what the playoffs are going to look like, maybe who's going to win some awards, MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, stuff like that. Jane Slater reports, as the Cowboys weigh in on Dak Prescott's IR status, sources tell the initial diagnosis is a partial avulsion of his hamstring tendon, which is partially torn off the bone. Ow. Like, he didn't just strain his hamstring. His hamstring tendon is partially torn off the bone. She says, I'm told it typically takes more than a four-week recovery. In some cases, they let it scar over, repair, and then strengthen. With that being said, Prescott is seeking other opinions, which is why there is currently reluctance to put him on IR, but they should just put him on IR, and they should just wrap this up because you just paid that man $60 million a year for X amount of years, and this year's a wrap anyway. The Dallas Cowboys aren't winning anything. Play Cooper Rush, and then eventually play Trey Lance. And just be miserable and get a top 10 pick where you'll probably draft Ashton Jeedy from Boise State and be one of those silly teams to draft a running back top 10. 888-808-1019. Now back to what Steven was talking about. Yeah, when you think about the money Messi and Ronaldo and those guys make, when you think about the money that just these athletes make, it's not more than the owners and it's not more than these sports teams rake in. You know, he started mentioning gambling on the game and streaming services. Yep. They are in bed with all these streaming services. You can watch the Yankees on Apple TV. You can watch the Yankees on the Yes Network app, on the Gotham Sports app. You can watch them on Peacock. You can watch them on, you know, Amazon. I don't know. Is that all of them? It wasn't like that. It used to just be Channel 70 or 72, Yes Network, whatever. But now, in the future that we're in, stream the dream. It's everywhere. And the gambling part of it, you know, when you watch on these streaming services, they tell you it's plus 250 for Giancarlo Stanton, the homer. Use this promo code right now. Sign up for FanDuel. If you're not signed up, if you haven't already lost thousands of dollars, join us. Like, it's part of it. Going to the games. The ticket prices for this World Series, it's alarming. Like, I looked at the ticket prices, and I'm just, I mean, like, I'm blessed I didn't have to pay to get in, but I know a lot of people that did. It is crazy. I think I talked about, there were some bleacher creatures that put up two racks, two G's to sit in the bleachers for the World Series. Imagine spending $2,000 to sit in the bleachers for game five. That's a cruel joke, but it is what it is. And those numbers are never coming back down. If the Yankees do run it back, expect them to be higher next year. And if it's Los Angeles versus a Yankees rematch? Yikes. The merch. Just the merch itself. I spent a couple $100 in merch. Because every year I watch all these other teams get World Series patches on their fitteds. And I'm like, man, I can't wait to get that fitted. I got two of them. One that I wore, one that I'm going to store. I got all of the pins I could get. I got like four different pins. AL pennant pin and like three different World Series pins, ones that say like a bunch of different things. And I'm not the only one. People were buying all of those hoodies, hats, merchandise. And like the Yankees obviously split some of it with, like, you know, resale ticket market and MLB and New Era and Fanatics, whatever. But that's a ton of money. That's a ton of money that only one other team was making late in the year. The Yankees have the money to sign Juan Soto, but they will have a line, right? Earlier, I read you the quote from David Stearns, talking about you know, financial flexibility is not limitless. Like, they have to have a bar. They have to have a line. And I think that the Yankees will be at the end of the line, and Juan Soto and Scott Boras better not hold the line. Go ahead. If you want to talk to 6-7 teams, do it. But don't take all day. You've got this whole month of November. The winter meetings are in Dallas, I believe, December 8th through 12th. So before the 12 days of Christmas, yo, figure it out. Punch it. It's got to get done. And I know that if Hal Steinbrenner really, in his heart of hearts, wants Juan Soto, which he watched this year, he saw the effect that Juan Soto has. He also saw the effect that Judge didn't have in the postseason and how you need guys like Stanton. You need guys like Soto. In the event that we go back to the World Series and they got to carry Judge again, but I think that Judge is now, you know, he's failed at the highest level. What do you got to lose, Judgey? Pressure's off. 888-808-1019. Speaking of the pressure being off, let's check in on the New York Knicks here at the half. It is 65-61. Atlanta Hawks lead. Nick is out on Long Island. He was watching the game. Nick, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking about Jalen Brunson.
Okay.
I've been watching the Knicks for years. I watched every game this year. He's starting, in my opinion, it seems like he's starting to hold the ball more, dribble into double teams. He's starting to remind me of Randall a little. I mean, I hate to say it.
Nah.
But I'm serious. I'm watching the game. He's dribbling.
He's a point guard.
That's my point. He's dribbling way too much. I mean, way too much one-on-one. He's not passing the ball. The guys are standing around. I mean, listen, he's a great player. I love him. But it just seems like he's going in that direction. I think he's trying to do too much as opposed to when he first came to the Knicks, shooting, passing, you know. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, believe it or not. That's what I feel he's doing. It's terrible.
It's game seven and not, you know, in the playoffs. It's the seventh game of the season. Brunson does have three turnovers to lead the Knicks in turnovers. I don't know, for me watching this game, and obviously I'm hosting the show and I'm looking up notes and news things. And like I said, we got some stuff, some spicy stuff to play with the Giants. I just gave you that update on Dak Prescott. We're going to start talking football in a minute, but I'll say this about Brunson. It's a different team. I wouldn't compare him to Randall. Randall sometimes dribble the air out of the ball in the corner. Like it's way different than your point guard dribbling the ball, trying to find an open man or find a play for him to make himself. I just think it's a feeling out process. Basketball, more than any other sport, they use the word chemistry, right? They have to work on their chemistry. And this is a completely new team. It's a completely new team. He's looking at Karl Anthony Towns. He's looking at Mikal Bridges. They have been in the NBA together for 6.5 games. And I think it's a feeling out process and a figuring out process. And I don't know. I can't look at Jalen Brunson and say, maybe Knicks fans call me up. If you want to react now, I think we should react at the end of the game. At least in my schedule of how the show is going to go, we'll react to the end of the game closer to the 10 o'clock hour. In this next hour, we're going to hit more of the football conversation and, you know, go away from Scott Boras and Juan Soto in the offseason and what should be done. But let me take another call here. Good, Connor, or should we break here? Yeah, let's take one more call before we break. Joe is in Rockland. What's up, Joe? You're on the Fan. Actually, no, you're not, because I double-tapped the screen. And now, I don't know, it's zoomed out. And, yeah, technical difficulties, Joe. Give me a second here. May have to break just to fix the screen. These new screens are good, but they are temperamental. There it is.
I'm here.
Gotcha.
How's it going?
It's going.
So two things. Number one is the gambling is out of control. The entire national football, all these teams that were against gambling, the Major League Baseball, that Pete Rose didn't make the Hall of Fame because of gambling, they're in bed now with all this gambling.
Yeah, because Shohei Ohtani bet millions of dollars, and that's fine.
That's one thing. Number two is, I think with regard to the Yankees, the amount of money they make on legends and the premium seats,
mm-hmm.
it's like the airlines. The airlines don't care about economy seats. They only care about first class, business class. So also the Yankees, from what I know, between the legends and the expensive seats,
bruh,
the upper deck seats, they give away for $5, $10 every game.
They can. Those legend seats are thousands of dollars, and there are rich and famous people in there every game, especially when we get to October, especially the World Series. I've never seen more celebrities at Yankee Stadium than the World Series.
Well, I'll teach you something about the legends. The legends cost $350 a game.
And per seat?
Per seat. And if you get it, they give it to you in the World Series for $350 also. That's
they
why
keep the face value if you do a season ticket deal like that in there?
Yep. And that's why everybody was selling it for $8,000, $10,000.
Yeah.
They made their money back for 2 years.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate the info, Joe. Yeah, I've talked to the ticket sales people and ticket reps. I know a bunch of y'all. And, I mean, I obviously never, ever had any conversations about legends and what that would cost because they probably wouldn't have had them with me. Like, no, we don't need to check a ticket plan for legends, bro. You're not there yet. Years ago. Now I don't. I haven't had a ticket plan in so long. I haven't done group deals in so long. Blessed that WFAN hooks up tickets and companies like TickPick or whoever it might be come through with tickets. Casamigos, shout out to Casamigos, who had me front row in Legends plenty in the last 2 years. But no, I just know how much money these people pay. And I look, if you're a Yankee fan and you look at tickets, you always, you take a glance. That lower bowl, you take a look and it's like, four-digit prices for these seats? It's nuts. And I always wonder, like, do all these celebrities pay? Because I know they could afford to pay. But some of them, I feel like, are there as guests. Maybe somebody else pays for them. This year alone, with Juan Soto and Judge and Stanton and Cole, and just, like, as good as the team was and as many teams visited Yankee Stadium with this new scheduling where you face everybody, you know, me being in Legends, I probably was in Legends 15, 20 times this year, that's a flex. But I'm saying it to say, like, there's a ton of rich people, influential people in there. I can't imagine how much money they rake in for that all-you-can-eat, even in, the JBL lounge, there's an open bar, and there's plenty of food flowing and drinks flowing and desserts flowing in there. And you guys know if you've ever been in Legends, like, that is, there's no higher. The suite level is dope. But, like, Legends is a different level. And if you've ever been to other ballparks and seen their club levels and, like, their stuff, it doesn't compare. It's not close. 888-808-1019. Now I'm taking calls on the Knicks. Now I'll start taking calls on the Jets and the Giants. When we come back, I will definitely plant some seeds. We'll play some audio from Joe Douglas. And we'll play some spicy audio from a former Giants coach, Keith McPherson, on the Fan. I'll be right back. Quickly here, right back at it on the Fan in New York. Before the 9 o'clock hour, your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, checking in, watching this Knicks game, and I'm going to play a cut. Maybe when we come back, I'm not expecting Connor to cook it up right now. We're kind of up against the break. Sharif, we're coming to you to get a word from you. But as I look at the halftime score and the box score, and I think about the Knicks, and I told you in my open, this is a must-win game just to stop the conversations around the Knicks and what have they done. Sharif in Staten Island, on Staten Island. Sharif, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, you talking about the Knicks? I just want to say the thrill is gone. You know, end of the season last year, playoffs and all that stuff. It got all excited, got them all set up for the DVR. If I miss the games, I'm home, I want to watch them. This season, I haven't even bothered even looking at the DVR.
Already? You're already out?
Already, bro. Already. The team is weak. It's soft. They look soft. They don't do nothing for me like what they did last year. The heart, the soul, all of it is gone. It was New York last year. This team is pickup basketball. I don't even bother watching it.
Oh man! See, thanks for the call, Sharif. This is what I was saying. They got to win this game so we can stop these conversations. But Sharif said he was already out. When were you out? Game three. This is the seventh game. Oh, boy, I've turned my Knicks hater's powers down, but I had a take at Fanatics Fest in August. I saw all the hype and the mania for Jalen Brunson, and that's when I actually gave him his respect. I remember getting on air and being like, yeah, he is a king of New York. He got the greatest reception out of anyone. Granted, it's at the Javits Center. Like, Tom Brady walked through. David Ortiz walked through. Jeter walked through. Hove walked through. Lil Wayne. DJ Khaled. Like, all the WWE superstars, Kevin Durant walked through. Nobody had the pandemonium like Jalen Brunson had. And back then, I was thinking that this team was going to be Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby. And they were essentially going to run it back and try to, you know, restore the feeling from last January, where I remember watching the team in January, and I'm like, they're winning the NBA Finals. They can't be stopped. No one can beat them. But my take, shout out to my boy Alex Day. You might catch him on the Yes Network. I had him in here with me not too long ago. My take was that this Knicks team, right, last year was the year, number two seed, a game away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals, even with the injuries. That was the year to get there. But, of course, the Boston Celtics get there, and actually it was their year to win the chip. My take was that this Knicks team is not going to reach the finals, not even going to reach the Eastern Conference Finals. And then they traded Julius, and they traded Dante, and they get Karl-Anthony Towns. And at the time, I'm like, I like the trade because you need a big man. But now you're starting over. 888-808-1019. Like, I laughed when they made the deal with the Brooklyn Nets. I was like, if you heard me that night, I think that was the first night of the Subway Series in Citi Field. And I drove back from Queens, and I'm sitting out in the front at WFAN, and that alert comes through. The Brooklyn Nets have made a trade. I'm like, fleeced them! I'm like, no way did they give us that much for Mikal Bridges. Any Nets fan will tell you we did not want him, and we were mad at the Nets for passing up on trading him with the Rockets, Trailblazers, anybody else who would have possibly had him. Anybody. Let's play what Bill Simmons, known New York sports hater, was hating on the Yankees, and obviously he's a Celtics Red Sox fan. Let's hear what he had to say about Mikal Bridges and the Knicks making that trade.
What was the point of the Bridges trade? For what they gave up for him, for how kind of little they use him, it's kind of shocking. Like, he's like a 15 points a game guy. He just stands in the corner in crunch time. I thought he would be way more involved with their offense. You know, you think like if Giannis is really going to be available over these next couple weeks, months, they shot their wad on this Bridges package. They could have just done the Towns thing. They could have kept everything else they had and kind of waited, but they went all in. I defended it last summer. It made sense to me, but I also thought they'd use Bridges as more than just like this complimentary player. So maybe it's got to sort itself out, but I'm just watching that because he just seems irrelevant sometimes for them. And I don't like it. So if you're going to give up that many picks for somebody, maybe use him.
That's what he is. He's a three. He's a complimentary player. That's what we were trying to tell you in Brooklyn, watching him every night. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'll play some sounds from Joe Douglas talking today, as well as Wink Martindale talking about his former employer. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. BRB.